Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Wednesday the 2nd of May. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Tom Morgan. Tonight on the show, we explore the challenges that lie ahead of us after marriage equality as we discuss this with renowned jurist and former High Court judge, the Honourable Michael Kirby. There's many avenues to consider when we think about what's next, but is it time to unify or focus our advocacy in a broader scope? We also speak to this year's winner of International Miss Leather, Australia's Girl Ange. We find out what it was like at this year's International Miss Leather and Miss Bootblack, as well as find out more about Girl Ange, who stands proudly representing not only her community, but women and non-gendered individuals in our alternative and fetish communities.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Now that we have marriage equality, where do we go next? It's a question that we've been hearing a lot since the yes vote at the end of last year. Earlier today, the Honourable Michael Kirby made the keynote address exploring this very topic at a panel at the University of La Trobe Bundoora and joined us earlier to explore the challenges still facing the LGBTI community now that we have marriage equality. While the marriage law postal survey outcome was successful, the battle was hard fought and only begins to tackle the varied inequalities faced by this population. Dean Arcuri and Rachel Tyler-Jones discuss this now with the Honourable Michael Kirby.
LGBTIQ Australians have known forever that they've got to work within a political and legal system which is often hostile. So this is not something we needed to be taught by an extremely expensive, exceptional and undesirable process, namely the postal survey. However, the survey was conducted and the outcome, I think, surprised some of the opponents to LGBTIQ equality. And the consequence of that was the rapid enactment of the amendments to the Marriage Act, and that has brought about marriage equality in Australia, and that's a good thing. But it was a shocking delay, and it should not have happened, and it led to stigmatisation, particularly of young people, and to other people who thought that that kind of stigmatisation was over in Australia. But it's not, and that's why we have to address the future and to try to ensure that mistakes of that kind don't happen again. All people who love liberty and equality have to focus on now is how we deal with the push from some of the religious organisations to protect so-called faith communities and inferentially to protect their right to insult, denigrate and spread hostility against LGBTIQ people. I myself would still count myself as a person of religion and of belief, and I'm therefore not as such hostile to freedom of religion, and that is part of universal human rights. But having gone during the period of the postal survey out in the back blocks of Sydney and seen the signs on churches of a number of denominations urging citizens and their parishioners to vote against marriage equality, one is naturally quite suspicious about what will be done. And therefore, one of the first steps which will have to be undertaken is to ensure that any steps that are taken by the government and the parliament to enlarge religious freedom so that people can be nasty to LGBTIQ people have to be watched most vigilantly and have to be guarded against, because the right to swing my arm finishes at the point where I hit somebody else's jaw. That's an old saying in human rights law, but it's still true, and it applies to the right of LGBT people to live peacefully and quietly in this community without being hit on the head and in their lives condemned by people who claim to do so in the name of freedom of religion.
Do you think we need to allow space for members of our community to disagree on how political and legal change should come about, rather than putting pressure on everyone, creating a unified front to get discriminatory laws changed?
Well, certainly, as a defender of liberty and of civil liberties and of freedom, I believe that people should be entitled to pursue their own individual views about the way we balance different rights and freedoms. This is a very common issue in human rights and human rights law. It exists in every country of the world, and in particular in the countries that have bills of rights, and therefore it's not something that is new or peculiar or confined to Australia. During the marriage equality debate, there were some who told me that I should shut up and not express my views contrary to the marriage survey, the postal vote. I had to respect the judgments that were being made by those who were strategizing the yes campaign in that vote. But I never retreated from my view that both as an issue relating to LGBT people in the particular connection of the right to marry, but also as a matter concerning the operation of the Australian Constitution. The introduction of a completely exceptional and undesirable survey as a precondition to getting a political party or grouping of parties to even allow the matter to be debated in the federal parliament was extremely undesirable and a very bad precedent, and I remain of that view. That is a view that's formed from my life as a lawyer and as a judge, and it's not confined just to the fact that I'm LGBT or that I oppose that survey because of its effect on gay people. It's a matter of my concept of the Australian Constitution, where we debate and resolve these matters in a representative way in the federal parliament and state parliaments, and not in the hustings and on the streets where people can say really nasty and hurtful things to each other that continue the isolation and denigration of gay people in this country.
What do you think the wider Australian community is ready for when it comes to dealing with LGBTI issues and the law?
Well, it's, I think, pretty clear from the outcome of the survey that very many people in the Australian community have friends, family, colleagues, workmates and others whom they know who have become open to them about their sexual orientation or gender identity and expression, and therefore are more understanding. But the fact remains that nearly 40% of Australians voted against marriage equality, and I don't think it's a matter for gay people in Australia to settle back and congratulate themselves on an outstanding result. In my view, it is surprising that 40% of fellow citizens don't believe that their fellow citizens who happen to be LGBTIQ should be entitled to have full equality as a citizen under a law made by our parliament, where that parliament is a secular institution. It's a really shocking thing in my view, and it's a result of campaigns of hate and disinformation that are based on unscientific understandings of sexual orientation and gender identity and expression, and I think the sooner we're over this, the better. So we shouldn't be patting ourselves too much on the back, but we should be continuing the effort to gain understanding, and the way to do that is for gay people to be open and forthright concerning their orientation and gender identity, and to insist upon their rights as citizens to enjoy completely full entitlements under the law as any other citizen of Australia does.
Justice Kirby, on a slightly more depressing note, Do you think there's an area of inequality faced by part or all of the LGBTIQ community at the moment that you think we're unlikely to ever resolve in Australia, or at least in our lifetimes?
I'm not so pessimistic as that. I mean, in my own lifetime, when I think that it all started with so much hate that you would criminalise people and punish them and impose serious criminal punishments. Originally, the punishment of death, the death penalty was imposed. If you hate people so much that you will do that, then we have made progress, and that is a good thing. And I think acceptance has also spread in our community, and that's also a good thing. But if we look at the reasons for this form of hostility, we have to go back to the home and to the school. And many young people grow up, even today in Australia, who are surrounded by institutions and in their home life telling them that they are an abomination and that they are hated by God and that they should keep very, very quiet about it and pretend that they are straight. I think it's very important that we turn our attention to the Safe Schools Initiative and to the endeavour to formulate education of young people so that they realise that this is hobgoblins and medieval thinking and that it has to stop. I myself was educated entirely in public schools, which in Australia, from one side of the continent to the other, are committed to free, compulsory and secular education. But there are quite a lot of Australians who send their children to religious schools or other schools where there isn't a secular approach and where religion is introduced and where openness and information about sexual orientation and gender identity and expression are not allowed. So I think these are the challenges amongst the challenges that we should be addressing. And when we fixed up Australia, we've got to be concerned about our neighbours because in a number of the neighbouring countries, notably Indonesia, Malaysia, Borneo and Bangladesh, there are really horrible laws and violence and murder directed against people simply because they happen to be gay or lesbian or bisexual. And that's a shocking thing. And Australians should be concerned in the international community to change things and change them quickly.
And perhaps just on the flip side of that, where do you see us taking the next big leap forward with equality in Australia?
First of all, I think it's important that we shouldn't only be obsessed with Australia. I mean, I know that this is something we want to make Australia great again, and that there are people who think President Trump's got the answer to this and that that's what we should be doing in Australia. I think we should have a love for people in our neighbouring countries and throughout the world, because in many countries it is still a serious criminal offence simply to be gay, no matter that your actions are consensual in private and with consenting adult participants. But within Australia, I think the next big step forward is to defend the success that was achieved by the amendments to the Marriage Act, marriage equality at the end of 2017, against the attempt by some religious groups to wind back the clock. And secondly, to ensure that in schools everywhere that young people have the advantage of being informed that it is not peculiar and it is not an abomination to be LGBTIQ, but that it is just a variation of nature. It is very common, and not only in the human species, and that people who have a problem with this have got to get over the problem and get their hands off the sexual lives of other fellow citizens.
That was the Honourable Michael Kirby with Dean Arcuri and Rachel Taylor-Jones discussing the impact of marriage equality on Australia's LGBTIQ populations, and outline what he sees as the challenges that still lie ahead.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
Building a community of leather women, kinksters, sex geeks, sex positive and empowered women, and those who love them, the International Miss Leather Weekend was last month, providing an extended weekend to meet, cruise and play for leather women. Last month, Australia's girl Ange won the title International Miss Leather and takes us through what the weekend was like for her now on Joy, as she not only talks about winning the title with Dean Arcurie, but what it means to proudly represent women and non-gendered individuals in our alternative and fetish communities.
National Miss Leather 2018.
In 1987, a group of women came together in San Francisco to celebrate leather women and select women who represent the community and would be recognised for the work they've done. And now, the International Miss Leather title has been passed on to Australia's own Girl Ange, who won IMSL 2018 last month. For some, being a title holder has been political. For others, it's been about community building. But all have embodied what it means to be not only a part of the women's alternative sex positive community, but a leader. When many people think of the leather community, they often focus on leather men. So standing up and representing women and the non-gendered community is something that means a lot to Girl Ange.
It's super exciting. I know a huge amount of leather men and leather people that are not gendered specifically that are massively supportive of leather women and leather women in the community and leather women standing up and representing just as much as the men do. So this for me is fantastic. One of my goals is to hopefully bring the gender dispersion in our or discordance in our local Melbourne community, bring that a little bit closer together with this title is one of my goals. And we've seen some of that sort of stuff happening at the Laird shortly before I left, where they had the gender fluid weekend, which was fantastic. It's so important. It's been a male-oriented community from the beginning, and it's starting to balance out now. It's really, really important that there is space for all genders within this community. It is not a gender-exclusive community. It's a gender-inclusive community. So there's a lot of spaces that are men-only. That's fantastic. There is some spaces that are gender-inclusive. That's fantastic. But having more and having these women-only or, you know, women-identified-only events is also just as important as having those other spaces so everyone can have a space to be comfortable in.
Although she's still enjoying her time overseas after the competition, we caught up with Girl Ange and asked her what it was like at the International Miss Leather and Miss Bootblack weekend, not just on stage, but amongst it all as well.
Exhausting and fun and so many brilliant, amazing interactions with people in corridors and hallways and hollering across the restaurant at breakfast and coming up and giving you a hug and saying, hey, thank you for coming over and representing from Australia. Super excited that you're here. It was really, really challenging. I had four main people helping me out pretty much constantly the whole weekend to get dressed, be where I needed to be on time, make sure I had water, make sure I was fed. I had all of my outfits in a spreadsheet. There was one day I had 9 different outfit changes, and that was just in one day. So it's a pretty big affair, and it's really, really busy, but it's so super exciting and fun. I signed up for this, and I knew what I was signing up for, and I was looking forward to everything, even the challenges. I knew there was going to be challenges, and so when they came up, I'm like, yep, I signed up for this. This is what I'm here for. Bring it on. Let's go. So it was fantastic. I asked people what the IMSL conference was like before I came over here. And it's really, really hard to explain what that 4.5-day period of time feels like, where you've got workshops, numerous workshops that run constantly throughout the day. You've got the vendor's space. You've got a dungeon that's open for a majority of the time. There's a pansexual part, and then there's a female-only part. We've got a great number of men that come to our event annually now, which is also fantastic. So there's shared space gender-wise, which is really good. There's also the contest that has numerous different parts to it that you're assessed on. There's the Boot Black contest, which also has some same and some separate numerous parts to it. there's also, you know, the main events each day. On the Thursday night, there's seduction. The Friday night, there's the opening and speeches. And then Saturday night, there's another opening. And then, you know, we have our fantasy and our pop question and our sexy wear, and the winner's announced. And then Sunday night, we have the pool party and there's bawdy storytelling. So all of this stuff, like the pace of it, the experience of attending IMSL, the camaraderie of family that's within our, the community, and also the pace that the contestants were consistently at, stepping on the mark, making sure that there were places on time, making sure they were dressed, making sure they had everything that they needed. It's a huge commitment, both prior and on the weekend as a contestant. And it's also one of the most phenomenal things I've ever done in my life. It was so much fun.
So what made Girl Ange want to enter International Miss Leather?
Sarge, who was IMSL 2015, approached me and offered to mentor me. So I spent a bit of time asking her questions and finding out what it was all about. And then last year, so 12 months after that started, I came over to America to attend the conference and see what the event was all about and see what the contest was all about, and took some notes. And after that, I finally made my decision. My motivation at the time was the sense of family that I got, that I was over here when I came over last year, and also bringing it back to the Australian community. That was my motivation for sure.
Well, it looks like the reconnaissance helped Girl Ange to be able to stand up at an international competition and represent not only herself, but her community as well.
Oh my gosh, it's super exciting. What does it mean to stand up and represent my leather community? It means a great deal to me. I've spent a lot of time and effort putting in all of the groundwork before I came to this contest. I spent a great deal of time fundraising the money so that I could get over here. To be able to represent the community means everything to me. That's why I ran for this title.
But all the preparation and reconnaissance didn't stop the nerves from coming through when she got up on stage.
Oh my gosh, it was completely nerve-wracking. My ultimate goal wasn't to win. My ultimate goal was to do my very best. That was the win that I had set for myself. And I had complete faith in the judges, in that I wanted them to choose the best person to do the job. And if that happened to be me, then yay. And if that happened to be somebody else, then yay. This job is too important and it's too big to be done by somebody who's not fit for the job. So the platform is mine to do with whatever I want, but essentially I will be representing leather, kinky, queer women all over the world, wherever I can get to, whatever events I can attend, however many places I can get to and be and represent, then I will. I will be doing judging, there will be hosting gigs, MCs, speeches, all sorts of stuff like that.
So what was it like when she was announced as International Miss Leather 2018?
I just stopped for a minute and I'm like, wait a minute, are you sure? Really? Really? To be really honest with you, I wasn't sure that my very best was good enough. And so when that happened, I was like, oh, okay, great. My very best is good enough. It is good enough for this title. It is great. So that was just phenomenal. But there was a moment of hesitation. So I'm not in it for the accolades. I'm not in it because I thought I was the very best. I was in it because I thought I was good, and I really, really wanted to have a go, and I really, really wanted to represent. And now I do, and now here I am, bumbling my way through interviews and answering questions for papers and you know, lining up to be photographed with whoever's going to be our new IML and IMDb in another few weeks, which I'm super excited about also.
Well, congratulations to International Miss Leather 2018, Australia's own Girl Ange. We look forward to welcoming you back down under after a well-deserved break. But before we let you go, care to tell us what you did for your fantasy section on stage?
Well, we had an Alice in Wonderland tea party, but there was no tea in the teapot. So we all cuddled up with each other and created squirts for the teapot so that we could have a tea party.
Leather.
That was Dean Arcuri with International Miss Leather, Girl Ange.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
And that's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform. Don't forget to follow us on social media, at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you'd like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. I'd like to take this opportunity to say a heartfelt happy birthday to Dean Arcuri, executive producer here at The Informer. On behalf of myself and the whole Informer team, we want to wish you happy returns with many more to come. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Tom Morgan.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.